Good morning and welcome to Encounter Life Church. I'm Pastor Dwayne. I'm so glad that you could join me, join us this morning. I pray that your heart was uplifted by the time of worship as we reflect on the greatness and awesome nature of the God that we serve this morning. If you're new watching us, we're just glad that you took this time out of your Sunday to worship with us. So could you do me a quick favor? If you got your cell phone, I want you to text the word new, N-E-W, to 301-804-2520. Text the word new to 301-804-2520. We just want to let you know we're glad you came and to worship with us online today. Listen, our world, there's a lot going on in our world right now. There's a lot going on in this country. This past week, if you haven't been under a rock, you'll know that was the memorial service for George Floyd. And you see the demonstrations all across this country, all across the world because of what's going on. And the tension that is right now in our country, the racial tension, the political tension, the health tension with the pandemic. There's just so many different things going on, but we know that our God is great. He's still in control. But even that being said, I don't know if you guys have felt it, but I almost feel like this cloud, this weight, this heaviness that you feel in the air because of what's going on. I mean, it can be depressing. I've had to back away from the news and back away from social media some days because it can be too much when you think about all that's going on. And as I looked at my social media feed and you look online, you look all around, everyone now is talking about the big one big topic is racial reconciliation because it's a big issue. And I'm gonna be honest, it's a big issue everywhere. We've been talking about it here at Encounter Life on Tuesdays. We do a Zoom. If you want to join on our Encounter Life page, we welcome you to join us on Tuesdays at 7:30 as we talk about this issue and we kind of talk it out. But you know, I struggle with that racial reconciliation deal. You know, and I know God has said, "Listen, I've been praying, God. How will you have me to address what's going on? What do you want me to say? What will you have me to say?" And the reason one of the struggles for me as a black man is because as a black follower of Christ is because I'm excited that so many people now are saying, okay, this is a problem. We need to do something about it. But there are part of me that sometimes is skeptical. The reason why I can be skeptical because guess what? Skeptical because as a black man in this this country, you know what? I've experienced racism all my life. And part of you got to fight the struggle to say, well, where y'all been? You know, I've been battling this since I was in elementary school. I know what it's like. I was the only black kid in my class from kindergarten to fourth grade. And I dealt with the racism there in my good Christian private school. And then I went to another private Christian school with more black kids, but still had the racial tension there. And then as a teenager, I know what it's like to be pulled over. Unjustly followed through a store and, you know, ask, can I, you know, help you for no good reason? In fact, I know what it's like. An incident comes to my mind several years ago when I was pulled over for no reason. And many of you are watching this, don't know what that's like. When I looked at George Floyd and I looked at Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and I said, you know what, Dwayne, that could be you. That could be you. You've experienced the rage and the bitterness and the injustice of feeling, why are you messing with me? I didn't do anything. I never forget the day I'm leaving my own business, my private practice, making deposits from my own business in my own bank, driving my car. And I know at the light, the police officer's behind me. I'm sitting there at the light. I say, he gonna pull me over. And I knew it just because of the car I was driving. I just knew it. And you did the count. One, two, three. Woo! As soon as the light turned green, he pulled me over. Sir, can I have your license and registration? Boom. Give him license and registration. Fighting off the irritation. Why is he pulling me over? He said, you know why you're pulled over, sir? I said, no, I have no idea. He said, because your window tint is too dark. At that point, I really was irritated because I want to let you know why I was irritated is because the car was straight from the factory with no window tint on it. I never tinted the windows. My window tint is too dark. And I said, officer, look. I turned to say, officer, look at the windows. They've never been. Put your hands back on the steering wheel. All right. Here we go. I'm nervous now. Didn't know that my church member was at the light. He saw me talking to the officer. He was so scared, he called my wife and said, please just tell Pastor Dwayne just to calm down. I'm there. He said, I need you to get out of the car. Okay, what's going on? You got any drugs or guns in the car? Sir, no, I'm a doctor. I'm a physician. I just left my office. I got a car seat. I got my briefcase in here. And they began to search my car for drugs and guns. Then he told me, guess what? You got anybody you can call? I could pull you in. I could take your car. But you know what? You got anybody you can call? I said, yeah, well, my wife, take my car for what? But you can call your wife. You can't leave. Don't leave. Call your wife to come pick you up. And that officer left me standing in a median strip in the middle of the road, told me I couldn't drive my car home. I had to have my wife and her sister come pick me up and somebody else drive it home. I know what that's like. That could have gone. That could have been, you know, that could have gone another way. If I was in another location, if I had gotten too irate, that could have gone another way. That's just one of me. That's just one story for me. I got multiple. And I was on this conversation with some brothers the other day. I said, any of y'all got a story like that? And guess what? It's unfortunate that I think it was one, two, three, about five or six of us guys on there. And guess what? All of us had the same story. Six men, all of us said, yep, I got the story. None of us could say we haven't experienced that. And I know what it's like. And that's why the tension is here. And I know what it's like to every time you pass a police officer, wonder whether he's going to pull you over, not because you're speeding, not for any other reason, just because you, the color of your skin. I know what I've experienced it. And even then, when you try to de-escalate and try to be respectful, I've been cursed out and called all kind of names and tried to be goaded into getting a response that you couldn't get from me. I know what that's like. And the reason why is because there is a wound in this country that has to be healed. In this next several weeks, we're going to be talking about it. And we're going to talk, we're calling our series Under the Skin. Under My Skin. And it's a play on words, under my skin. The reason why I say under my skin, because this racism thing gets under my skin. It's been under my skin for a long time. But another reason why I call it under my skin is because I believe that there is a wound under the skin of this country that hasn't been healed. And if you close the skin without healing what's under the skin, you got a real problem on your hands. Anybody knows in medicine, if you close a wound and don't close the subcutaneous tissue before you close the skin, you can get what's called a hematoma or an abscess, and it can get infected. And now you got to break it open. And right now in America, we have an open wound that we thought was closed, but it was just the skin. We haven't dealt with the core. The reason why I say we haven't dealt with the core, because the core took 401 years to get us here. And something that takes 401 years, you can't fix in 80. It's going to take some hard work. And over the next several weeks, I praise God. I know, and you know what? It's called, the hard work can be done, because why? We serve a great God. We said, how great is our God? He's the name above all names. He's a great God, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. And God has the solution. And guess what? As the body of Christ, we have the solution. But if we're not together, then the world can never get it right. So today we're going to talk about under my skin, dealing with that wound that's under the skin. And God wants to use us as followers of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ today, he's got the solution to heal it. And if he can, and if he deals with us, he said, if my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, he will heal from heaven, forgive sins, and heal the land. Can we pray as we ask God for his healing? Dear God, we ask that you'll heal the land. Heal the land of our racism, of our bigotry. God, show us your face this morning and in the upcoming weeks. We thank you for opening our eyes to the wound that is there. And we pray, God, that we'll apply the appropriate balm to it so that you get glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, this week as we watched the memorial service for George Floyd, I mean, I cried as I stood it for and sat there 9 minutes to think about all that went on and how long he was there, and just it ached and I fought bitterness and anger But at the same time, I was encouraged to see my white brothers and sisters reaching out and saying, how can we fix this problem? And as I said earlier, part of me wanted to say, listen, are you really serious? Because the problem's been there a long time. I've dealt with that. That could have been me 5 years ago. That could have been me a couple of years ago. I've been in the same situation and nobody said anything then. But guess what? God can, listen, take evil and use it for his good. He can still bring healing out of it. And I believe that what God is stirring up is the real church today. He's stirring up the real church. And because we as a country, if we want to move forward, if we want to accomplish all that God would have us to accomplish, we got to deal with the sin in the camp. Joshua and the people of children of Israel, they defeated Jericho, and then they went to this little city called Ai, and they couldn't get over the hump because God said there's sin in the camp. And until we deal with the sin in the camp, you can't move forward. Church, we got to deal with the sin in the camp. And the only way we're going to deal with sin in the camp is we got to get to the core. This morning, we're going to come from a text in Acts. Acts chapter 17, we're going to look at that, and we're going to say, guess what? The message today is the power of one. The power of one. Look at Acts 17 as we talk about the power of one in our series, Under My Skin. Acts 17, I'm going to look at verse 24. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands. As if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. Some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead. The power of one, I'm going to tell you, if there's going to be reconciliation today, there's going to be reconciling between the races, it's going to start with the power of one. The first thing that we got to recognize is that there is one God. There is one God. Look at it right here in the text, Acts 17. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Go down to verse 29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. You know what? There's one God, and he is not to be made into an image designed by our own design. He's one sovereign God, and it says he made everything, and he designed everything in this earth. And guess what? That God who made everything, the one God who made everything, if you look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. God created man, and then you look further down in Genesis 1, he said, and he finished it, and he created it all, and he said he made it all good. Listen, our founding fathers recognized that there was one God. He said, listen, the Declaration of Independence says that we are all created equal and endowed by our creator. There is one creator God. We got to understand that there's going to be healing between the races. We got to all recognize that there is one God. And the question is, are you following the one God? Or have you designed a God, an image in your mind for your own out of your own human design? Have you created a God out of your own human design? Or are you worshiping the one true God, the God in this passage, the one who made everything? See, I believe racism can last if we create and design a God out of our own context. We want God to look like us and be like us. Listen, he created us in his image. But God said, listen, I am God by myself. I'm sovereign. I don't need anybody. And I'm the one who calls the shots. if there's going to be healing in the races, number one, we got to recognize there's one God. But not only is there one God, there's only one God. And all of us, we are servants. So we are his offspring. All of us. Look at what it says right here. And some of your own poets, as Paul, as he was talking to them there in Athens, he says, listen, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. In the sense that we are all created by God. We are his offspring. There's one God. And he created us all. But not only did he create us all, there's one God, and he created us all. We are his offspring, but that one God made us out of what? One blood. He created us all from one blood. Look at it. It's right there in the text, verse 26. He said, listen, from one man, he created all the nations. That one God created us all from one blood. One blood. And that one God, and if you look in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, 35, that one God, it says that one God is no, what is his character? What is the character of that one God? He's no respecter of persons. It says he does not play, that God does not play favorites. He does not show favoritism. A one God who doesn't show favoritism created us all from one blood. See, many of you, some of you may not know, that prior to me going to medical school, that I actually went in to get a master's in genetics, in the field of genetics. And I didn't finish. I got halfway through it, but I decided, you know, I wanted to go in a different direction. But as you study genetics, what you'll recognize about the human beings is that, you know what? Race is a social construct. Biologically, scientifically, physiologically, genetically, we are actually all 99.9% the same. We're all 99.9% the same. There's only 0.1% variation between all of us. You actually can find more variation within a race sometimes than you can between races. Do you know that you can have a white man and an Asian man that are more genetically similar than two white men? So that's messing up some of our paradigm. Do you know that you could have a black man and a white man that are more genetically similar than two black men or two white men? Yes, you got to understand, as human beings, that idea of different races, you know what? The race, it's all based on where we're located, where we came from. But guess what? In our essence, in our core, biologically, we're all the same. We are made from one blood. And that's why I said under my skin. You know, when I go to the anatomy lab, when I do surgery, when I open a patient, I've had white patients, black patients, Indian patients, I've had Asian patients. One thing I notice when I go to the operating room, once I peel back the skin, they all look the same. God designed us all. That one God made us all out of one blood. He said, and if you look back in the table of nations, if you look there in Genesis chapter 10, he created us all from one man. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And from those three sons, all of the nations came into being. But what has happened is we didn't got that thing twisted. We are all from one God. He made us all of one blood. So how did we get here? You know, the founding fathers, as I said it earlier, they recognize it, the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. We're one blood. And all men are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We all know the Declaration of Independence from 1776. Thomas Jefferson, you're taught that in school. But there's some of us who are not taught something called the Cornerstone Speech. You say, what is the Cornerstone Speech? See, one reason why that we have an issue in our country is we have some historical things that have not been dealt with and that we don't acknowledge. That you know that there are some people in this country who were brought up in certain parts of this country who did not want all the men to be created equal, did not believe that all men are created equal. That's why our country had a civil war in 1861. In 1861, our country went to civil war, and there was the Confederacy, which was a portion of our country that said, no, all men are not created equal. Do you know this whole country was fought and torn apart at the seams because of finances. Some of it is because of finances. That's a whole other thing. We're not going to get into that. But you know what was at the core of it? If you ever read the Cornerstone Speech by Alexander Stevens, See, Alexander Stevens knew what the Founding Fathers said. He knew what the Founding Fathers said. He knew that Thomas Jefferson said that all men are created equal. But you know what Alexander Stevens said in the Cornerstone Speech, which is the cornerstone of the Confederacy? That's why when you see a Confederate flag, don't take it lightly. This is what it's saying. The cornerstone of this Confederacy. This is what it says. Alexander Stevens said, you know what, Thomas Jefferson, you're wrong. He said, the prevailing ideas entertained by him and most of the leading statesmen of the time of the formation of our own old Constitution were that the enslavement of the African was in violation of the laws of nature. That was wrong in principle, socially, morally, and politically. Those ideas, however, were fundamentally wrong. They rested upon the assumption of the equality of the races. This is an error. It was a sandy foundation, and the government built upon it fell when the storm came and the wind blew. Our new government is founded upon exactly the opposite idea. Its foundations are laid, its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race is his natural and normal condition. This stone was rejected by the first builders. It has become the chief of the corner, the real cornerstone in our new edifice. And some of you who know your Bible know what Alexander Stevens just did is took Psalms 118 and twisted it and said, the stone that the builders have refused have become the cornerstone. What is that talking about? The Bible is talking about the stone that the builders refused. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He said, that's the cornerstone. But he said, no, the cornerstone, he says, the real cornerstone is that the white man, that the Negro is not equal to the white man, and the slavery, subordination to the superior race is natural and normal condition. That is the real cornerstone. And that's the cornerstone that we're going to build this nation on, that we're going to build this on. It's like, oh, well, maybe that's why we got an issue. I'm talking about the church in the United States of America. And then he goes on to continue to quote the Bible. And he goes and continues to talk about that. He says, you know what? That with us, meaning all the white race, however high or low, rich or poor, we're all equal in the eye of the law, but not so the Negro. Subordination is his place. He by nature or by the curse against Canaan. He goes to Genesis chapter 10. And he's building the whole the governmental system on the Bible teaching in Genesis chapter 10. And you say, what is he talking about? Genesis chapter 10. Noah's son Ham looked upon his nakedness and when he wasn't supposed to. And the Bible said, listen, curse because of Ham did that. He said, now your son Canaan will be cursed. Well, who were the Canaanites? The Canaanites, the land of Canaan is the land of promise. That's the Hittites, the Canaanites, those are the people, the Amalekites, those are the people that the Israelites displaced when they came into the promised land, the Canaanites. He wasn't talking about all black people, but you know what? Some denominations just renounced that in the 1980s. Some Christian denominations, some Baptist churches just got rid of that idea in the 1980s. And we say, why do we have this schism in the church? It's because, God, we got to go back to recognize there's one God, and you got to believe that that one God says that I'm no respecter of persons, and I made everybody out of one blood, and y'all all the same. You know what? We got one God. We're all made of one blood. And we got to dispel these lies. We got to deal with these lies. If there's going to be reconciliation, we got to dig deep. And why am I talking about it? You say, man, Pastor Dwayne, where are you getting this from? You know why I know it? Because guess what? The middle school that I went to, an elementary school my sister went to, Bible teacher used to teach that in Bible class. That black people were cursed people because of this, what in Genesis chapter 10. And can you imagine what that does to an African-American child in there and who's already dealing with told they're less than by the media and everybody else? And then you go and tell me this Bible that you grow, that I read and believe in this guy. And it says that that's what it's teaching. And my parents had to go. We had to go and deal with that thing because, look, I'm so glad for godly parents that taught me to understand my roots and understand that I am a descendant of Ham. And that this, listen, our Savior, out of one blood, he made us all. Why did he make us out of one blood? Because there had to be one to come. And I'm going to get there. That you know what? In the line of our Savior, every line was in it. I'm not even going to get off the topic. There's one God and there's only one blood. There's one God and there's one blood. You got to understand that all of us are the same, y'all. But not only is there one God and one blood, but guess what? He also designed us for one purpose. There's one God. He made us all from one blood. He designed us for one purpose. He said in verse 27 of Acts 17, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Y'all, guess what? We're all made of that one God. And we're all from that one, by that one God, out of one blood. And that's what he made us for one purpose. And that is to be in relationship with him. He made us for his pleasure, for his glory. And he wants us to be in relationship with him. That's why he designed us. You know why, he says? So that we would seek him. And he says, if you seek him, he will find him. If you search for him with all your heart. You know, the one purpose for all of us of this one blood is to be in relationship with God. But you know what? We can't, because we all got one problem. There's one God who made us all through one blood. And he's got one purpose for us. His purpose for you is to be in relationship with you. He made you to love you. He wants a personal relationship with you. He said he wants you to seek him and reach out for him. But you can't have a relationship with him, even though that's your one purpose. But you can't have that one. You can't fulfill that one purpose, because we all got one problem. And we got a problem, and it's a sin problem. I'm here to tell you, it's a sin problem at our core. Racism is at the core, is a symptom of our core problem. It is sin. See, the original sin was man trying to put himself in the place of God. Racism does the same thing. It's the same spirit that caused man to fall. It's the same thing that propagates one race being bigger than the other. And it is all at the core of it. All sin. Racism is a sin. Immorality is a sin. All of it is a sin. And we got to call it what it is. Until we deal with it, it's not going to get fixed. We got to repent. If there's going to be reconciliation between the races, we got to recognize we serve one God. He made us from one blood. He designed us for one purpose, but we all got one big problem, and we're sinners. Do you recognize, when you recognize we all got the same problem, and it ain't our economic status? You know what? I don't care if you're a multimillionaire or you don't have two nickels to rub together. The ground is level. When God is looking at us, he said, I'm no respecter of persons. He told Peter, don't call any man common or unclean. Because when I look at all of y'all got the problem. And you're a sinner separated from me. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. See, that's the reason why in the United States, Christianity of the United States is not the Christianity of the Bible. See, because our culture and Christianity, our Christianity also, you know, is we equate Christianity and capitalism almost. You know, because the faith here does not work in all countries necessarily. Because the way we look at it is that, you know what, we look at somebody's socioeconomic status and almost equate them with being a follower of Christ. Or almost equate their need for Christ based on a socioeconomic status. Look at most of our missions efforts, most of our outreach efforts. Yes, they are to the least of these. These are those who have financial problems, those who are the minorities in society, and that's what true faith is. That's what we are to. But guess what? There are folks in the big house that are just as lost as the person that's in the crack house. You know, the White House has got folks that are lost in it just like the crack house does. And the ground is level at the foot of the cross. But you got to understand, it doesn't matter at what station of life you are. It don't matter what color of skin you got. You got a sin. We got one problem. He made us for one purpose, to be in relationship with him. But we got one problem, and it cannot be fixed unless we come by one way. One way. He said it in the passage in Acts chapter 17. He said, listen, there was a time that I dealt with this ignorance, but the time is up. The time is now for everybody to repent. And I'm gonna judge the world by the one man that one way. Jesus said in John chapter 14 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way for us to fulfill our purpose is that we have to deal with our one problem, and that sin problem. The only way that one problem can be fixed is by one way, and that one way is through that one man, Jesus Christ. The Bible said, by one man, sin entered into the world. By one man, racism entered into the world. By one man, bigotry entered into the world. By one man, prejudice entered into the world. By one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, therefore death passed on all men. By one man, sin entered. Yes, guess what? But God said, guess what? This one man brought the sin, but I'm gonna have one man take it all out. Now, one man had to be a perfect man, and there is no perfect man. So God says, I will become man, the God-man, Jesus the Christ. See, he's the one way to fix racism. He's the one way. We got to recognize, because until we recognize that what's at the core of our racist ways is sin, we're just going to be spinning our wheels. We got to understand that there is one God. You got to understand that one God made us all from one blood. He designed us all for one purpose. And you know what? That one purpose he designed is for to be in relationship. You know what? It's blocked by one problem. I mean, there's only one way to fix it, and that's through Jesus Christ. And once you come to accept that one way, you know, how do you come to accept that one way? Just to come to say, God, you know what? I admit I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe he was buried and he rose again. And I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of my prejudice. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my rebellion and my prideful ways. All of the ugly stuff in me. Forgive me, God, and make me who you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Make me who you want me to be. Not who I want me to be. You can't too. See, it's who you want me to be. And how you find out who he wants you to be, it's right in the word. He wants you to be like him. God is no respecter of persons. How do we fix it? There's one God. You know what? That one God made us for one blood. He designed us for one purpose. And that purpose is blocked by one problem. And he made one way to fix it. And you know what I'm excited about? I'm excited about the fact that that one way to fix it. Once we come to acknowledge that one way to fix it, that Jesus is that one way to fix it. You know what he'll do? He now makes us part of one body. He makes us part of one universal body. If you got a second, I want you to turn in your Bible to Revelation. If you have your Bible or your phone or whatever it is, I want us to look at this. And I'm gonna end right here. Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Once you recognize that there is only one God, this one God, and he made us and designed us from one blood. He designed you and created you for one purpose that is blocked by one problem, that is only fixed by one way. You know what? When you come to recognize that, now he makes you a part of one body. One body. He said in John chapter 17, in his high priestly prayer, he said, "God, Father, make my children, my followers, make them one, even as I are one." He makes you part of one body that one day is going to stand around one throne. Look at it right here in Revelation 9. And you're going to worship him and exalt him with one voice. Man, when I looked at this passage in Revelation chapter 9, and I saw racial reconciliation, because God says, and the throne, when I get into his presence, and I see, guess what? It's going to be a great multitude, and it's going to be black people there, and it's going to be white people there, and it's going to be Asians there, and it's going to be Native Americans there. And if I cannot get used to worshiping with them now, how am I going to be fit for the kingdom then? Look at it right here. The great multitude, no one could count the number. Every nation, every color, tribe, people, language, and we're all standing one body together, unified. It's a mass choir. It's a mass choir standing around the throne as we are all wearing white robes. Those of us who have been partaken of the one way and have had our sin cleansed, as we stand there in white robes, holding branches in our hand, crying, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb." Now Behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Do you see how the gospel eliminates racism? Racial reconciliation truly starts when you really grasp. You cannot grasp the gospel and be racist at the same time. Because if I am, then maybe I have not received the gospel. Because the gospel tells me, guess what? The ground is level at the feet of the cross. That we all got one problem. And we all need to partake of the one solution. And one day we will lock arms together around that one throne. And worship that one God as one body. I want our races to be reconciled. Man. We got to understand that one God is on the throne. We can't redefine him to fit into our cultural construct. He has got to be defined by the God of the word and what he says about himself. And what does he say? He says, I'm no respecter of persons. Peter said, God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's what he says. We got to be true to the Bible. Don't make the Bible fit into what we want it to fit in. We got to be true to the Bible. And then what we got to do once we understand we are one blood, and then we got that one purpose. When we see, guess what? It doesn't matter whether I'm rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether I'm black or white. It doesn't matter whether I'm a doctor or a lawyer, school teacher or bus driver. Guess what? That's not even my purpose. My purpose is to be in relationship with him. All of us are created for a purpose. I don't define myself by my career or by my title. I'm designed myself by whether I'm in right relationship to God. And no matter what your career, no matter what your socioeconomic or your race, we all got the same problem. And that one solution is Christ. And we'll all lock arms together. Today, listen, I want to give you some tips before I close. I want to let you know, look, if you're struggling with this race thing, if you can't get it together, man, God is convicting me. There's some of you watching today, you may go to all black church, and it might be you're an all black church or all white church. It might be because there's just no white folks in your town. You know, my church is located in a county in a neighborhood where it's like 98% African American. So most people who go to my church are going to be African American. That's just the fact of the matter where I'm located. That's not because that's all I want, but that's just the way it is. If that's where you are, that's fine. But when I looked at it, God convicted me and said, you know what? The church, when I look at Revelation 19, the heaven, boy, I tell you, that throne, that's something that you want to talk about multicultural, more than multi-ethnic, multicultural. We all there together. And it shouldn't be that my church is all black or all white because somebody from another race doesn't feel comfortable there. That's different. We all should feel comfortable because why? We should all worship that one God. And nobody looks at anybody different because we're all of one blood. We 99.9% the same. I should be able to go to my white brother's church. They should be able to come to my church. And we feel the same way. And if I go in there and if you come in my place and you feel uncomfortable, you know what? Then there's a problem. If we're going to fix that problem, I'm going to give us some things that we need to do to fix that problem. I want you to reconcile this problem. Can I give you this? Number one, we got to do some reflection. Pastors, if you're watching me, church members, pastors, all of us, we got to reflect. We got to do some self-reflection. What do I mean? We got to do a pause and say, look, we all got blind spots. Do I have some racist ideas? Is there some bigotry in my heart? Is there some prejudices in my heart that God's got to deal with? And if that's so, you need to do some reflection. That's number one. We have to reflect. He says, search me, O God. I want him to know my heart, know my thoughts, to see if there's a wicked way in me, if the wicked, racist, bigoted way in me. See if that's in me. Do the reflection. But then once you do the reflection, I trust that when you ask God, he will show you. He will reveal to you. And then when you do the reflection, there has to be a recognition. Reflection, then recognition. That means I admit it. Yeah, it's there. Mm-hmm. I'm prejudiced. I'm racist. And there's I got a little racist piece. It's right there. Not the whole heart, but right there. I got some in there. You got to admit it, y'all. You got to do some acknowledgement. You got to be recognition. We reflection, then recognition. And then once we do the recognition, now we got to have some repentance. Yep. Repentance. We got to say, God, I'm sorry. Not just I'm sorry, but I'm going to change. Repent means to change, a change of mind, a change of our ways. We got to reflect, we got to recognize, and then we got to repent. It ain't going to be easy, but we got to repent. We got to tell God, we messed up. We got to talk about this deal. And then once you repent, now you got to do the process of repair. We got to repair. We got to go and we got to get together and say, how we fix this? How do we mend this? I praise God for all of the race, the people that are coming together, blacks and whites. And what can we do to fix this problem? We got to begin the repair work. And that repair work is going to be a hard work, y'all. It's going to be a hard work. It's not going to be easy. We're going to be it's going to be some hard conversations. It's going to be some things that you're going to have to bring up. You know, I talked about the wound that hasn't healed. You know, as a doctor, when a person comes to me or with a wound, when they come in, I have them come in every week and I have to debride it. What does that mean? I got to cut it. I gotta cut at it and I gotta put something on it, and you come back next week and I gotta cut it and put something on it, and you keep coming back until it's whole. You gotta repair. In order to repair, it's gonna take some work, y'all. But what that means, that work, we're gonna have to rely. We gotta rely on God. We gotta rely on prayer. The work is done on our knees. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Listen, it has great results. We're going to have to do the work on our knees. We're going to have to pray. But and not only that, but we also have to and pray, but we're going to also have to do some releasing. Say release. I want you to say release. What do I mean? You know, once we reflect and recognize and repent and start the repair, you know, some of us, and we rely on God, but there's some of us who are going to have to release. What do I mean? Let go. There's going to have to be some forgiveness. See, because if you repent, then I got to forgive you. Because to be honest, for some of us in the black community, it's going to be hard. Some of us are going to, it's going to be hard for us. I know my wife and I talked about this. It's like, oh, it's so hard. I want to trust you, but it's hard to trust you. But you know what? Guess what? You got to have to be vulnerable. You got to release it. We got to release it. And then it's going to require you to be relentless. Say relentless. What do I mean? It's going to cause you to be dedicated, tenacious. You're going to have to keep at it. Why? Because it's 416, 19, 2020. That's 401 years. You got 401 years of history, 401 years of oppression, 401 years of racism, of institutionalized, systematic prejudice that we got. Listen, we didn't just get here in 1 year. So what you got to be is relentless. You got to have to keep pushing. You got to be dedicated to the process, because I'm going to tell you, sometime you're going to have to be patient with me. I got to be patient with you while we're trying to get it together. I may go backwards. Yeah. I may have my moments. You may have your moments. You're going to have to fight that off, but you got to be relentless, because I'm serving one God and he's got one purpose, and he wants to make us one even as he is one. He said we got to be relentless. Relentless means you make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. Every effort, relentless. And finally, you know what you're going to have to do? Repeat it. Repeat it. What do I mean? I mean, you're going to have to go back to reflect. You're going to have to go back to recognition. Go back to the repentance and relying on God and then releasing some things and being relentless. You're going to have to go through the whole process over again, because guess what? We got blind spots. And as I'm doing, I know just in my life, there's some things when you go through these processes, you're like, oh, I didn't get that right. I got to go back. I do need to do some self-reflection. Never think we got it. It's going to be a constant work. But if we put in the work, man, God can do some great things. I said it earlier, man, Joshua and children of Israel, they defeated Jericho. They got beat at Ai because they had blind spots. They were sitting in the camp they didn't deal with, so they could not move forward. They could not defeat a small enemy. And today, listen, church, if we're going to be victorious and be what God called us to be, we got to deal with the sin in the camp and the sin of racism. God wants us to deal with it. Let's reflect. Let's recognize the sin. Have some repentance, and as we repent, let's go do the work of repair. And as we repair, it's not going to be easy, so we're going to rely on the power of God and release some of the bitterness that we have. We're going to forgive, do some forgiving. We're going to release, be relentless, and guess what? We're going to repeat, go back, watch God do a great work. Listen, that's it. I'm done. Thank you for being patient. I hope you stay with me. I hope you follow me. We're going to be dealing with this thing some more over the next couple of weeks, because I believe God wants to do a work in and through us. Listen, if you want to receive that one way, you want to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I said it earlier, just say, dear God, I admit that I'm not perfect. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me, that he was buried and he rose again. And today I make the choice to invite him into my life, forgive me of my sin, and make me who he wants me to be. That's the one way. That's the one way. Man, that's the core. That starts there. If we want to fix anything, it starts there. If you made that decision today, text the word next to 301-804-2520, or you can go on our website and go under the contact card and click next steps. And then you fill out that little form. We're going to get some information to you. If you're here and you say, Pastor Boyd, I admit I got some racist ways, some bigotry in my heart, some things that I need to ask God to forgive me for. Can we pray together? Can we lock arms virtually, hold hands virtually? I'm going to just extend my arm to you. Dear God, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you are long-suffering. And Lord, as we look at this great multitude gathered together from every nation, how beautiful it is. We confess today, God, that if we cannot get this right in the earth, God, we're not fit for heaven. And we confess that, Lord, if we cannot get the racial thing right, if we cannot, Lord God, to strive for oneness and recognize that, Lord, you're no respecter of persons and I shouldn't be, how then I can be prepared for the kingdom where we're going to all worship around one throne? Forgive us, God. Forgive me of my prejudiced ways. Forgive me of the things that I've said in private about my brothers, Lord God, my white brothers, Lord, out of anger, out of bitterness. Forgive me for the bitterness that I've had in my heart. Lord God, for my brother who's listening to me, forgive us. And God, begin to wipe the slate clean. And Lord God, begin the process of healing of the wound under the skin. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for joining us today. I pray you can see us next week. Listen, if you want to be with us on our discussion, we're going to be on Facebook Live on Tuesday night, 7:30, right on Encounter Life. Go to facebook.com/EncounterLifeDMV. facebook.com/EncounterLifeDMV on Tuesday at 7:30. We can join the discussion as we continue the process of healing. Listen, praise God. Love you. Look forward to seeing you next week. Amen.